big of her eye ports, his skull staring out at me. That is the icon of sin. You remember, those are still old enough, remember the old days drug commercial with the egg? Right? This is your brain. Shh. This is your brain on drugs. Okay? Look at your body right now. Old, young, put together well or not. Your body as it is right now. This is your soul. So the soul is the form of the body. It gives it life and shape, direction. This is your soul. Now think of that chorus. That's your soul. On sin. That's what sin does to us. It warps our wills, it twists our minds, it makes us think and do and say things we'd otherwise never let ourselves do. Sin can transform us, but it can never transfigure. The Lord Jesus on the mountain is transfigured before his closest disciples. He gives them a glimpse, a glimmer into who he really is. And he does so through the instrument of his own body. A body, just like yours and mine. That same body that those men had lived and worked with now for years, that they had seen eat, that they had seen have to run off to use the latrine on their way up, that they had seen sweat, and that they had smelled sweat, just like everybody else. That same body that they saw dirty and grimy from the road, and clean and fresh after a bath, that same body is the one that is transfigured before them. That same body is what's used to reveal Jesus' Godhood. This is who he is. In a human body, just like yours and mine. It is the promise of his body that he makes on the mountain. It's no accident that he appears with Moses and Elijah. Moses standing for the law and Elijah for the prophets, right? So the law and the prophets are bearing testimony of who Jesus is. But it's no accident that it's Moses and Elijah. Why? Do you remember how they died? You don't, because they didn't. At least not the same way that we do. Elijah is taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. Moses dies, is laid in a tomb, but when they go back to make a shrine out of the tomb, it's God. So Moses and Elijah, in their bodies, are revealed on the mountain. It's a kind of a preview or a trailer for what's going to happen with the Blessed Virgin on her Assumption. It's the promise of the body that's made to you and me today. That our bodies, the things we walk around in, the things that we do, all the things that we do, it's our bodies that will ultimately become the instruments of our salvation. The Virgin and St. Joseph are depicted here in pretty traditional ways. We don't have the image of any martyrs up in our church, but if you go down to St. Anthony's, they've got several, right? St. Lucy, holy out of eyeballs. Why? Because they tore her eyes out. And she was martyred. That seems like a shameful thing. Why would we celebrate that? Because it's by her martyrdom that she was saved. St. Sebastian almost got the arrows sticking out of him. What's that about? Because that's how he died. Our bodies aren't accidental to the spiritual life. They're absolutely essential. We're not just spirits in a meat bag, like the Lazarus say. We're something much, much more than that. Our bodies are the key to this whole thing. Because it is by a body that he saves us. It is the broken, battered, and bruised body of a naked man lynched to a tree that saves us. accept the promise of his body. This is why sin, whether it's the kind of sin that I committed this week or the kind of sin you committed this week, is so dangerous. Because it can warp our souls and ultimately warp even our bodies. Every one of us has seen a person whose body has been ravaged by addiction, drug, or booze, or whatever else. We know what it does to our bodies. Ultimately, it will destroy our bodies. It distorts us so that we no longer even resemble the thing we're meant to be. Grace does the opposite. The glory of Christ revealed on the Mount of the Transfiguration and more is what's made present here on the altar, and that can change us from the inside out. There's a mountain, the coast of Greece called Athos, that's only monks are on this island. And they call the monks who live there the beautiful old men. And it is astounding. Just Google Mount Athos monk, and you'll see these faces. And they are rather obviously ugly old men. Old men are not the kinds of things that we usually call beautiful, right? And yet, even in a photograph, you can see what they're talking about. Something has worked on these men. Decades of prayer and fasting. And while on the one hand, like you wrote down a description of them, they were haggard and cold and crazy, there is beauty that emanates from their eyes, from the brow, in the middle of their head. We have some old people in the parish, both men and women, that do the very same thing. I don't know if you notice them, but look carefully. The promise of his body, made on the mountain of the Transfiguration, fulfilled at Calvary and renewed every time we come to the altar, is for us. Which is the reason that he won't allow Peter to build tents. He's not talking about going to camping. When he says tent, the word that he's using there is tabernacle, literally, like that thing. He wants to build shrines to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Reasonable things. But Jesus says no. Why? There are, and have been, and will be shrines of Jesus and Moses and Elijah. But what the disciples don't realize there are not in that day, the reason that they don't understand why he says not be afraid, when at that point all they can see is his regular old body, is because there are tents, tabernacles. Peter and James and John. Jesus didn't reveal himself on the mountain for himself, for Moses, for Elijah. They already had it for me. He did it for those three. And he did it for us. There will, there can be, a tabernacle for you. Because as you leave today, the grace of God pulsating through your body, you become a living tabernacle. A living